Wonderful than that. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. He looked past all my sins and saw the redemption that was necessary for my life. Think about it. Think about it. Now today, our subject is an incredible one. We're going to talk about the mystery of the awesome Christ. The mystery of the awesome Christ. The mystery of our Redeemer. Do you know, I think that somehow, and I put me in the same category with the rest, I think that somehow we have not maintained the kind of respect of the Christ and the respect of his redemptive power and the glory of what he really did on that cross that day. But that glory goes all the way back and begins in Genesis chapter 1 and goes all the way to Revelation 22. You see, Jesus was absolutely the Word in Genesis 1 and 1, and Jesus is the bridegroom in Revelation 22. So from being the Word and the High Priest and the redeeming one, all the way through the Bible, the Word spoken by God, every word that came from the lips of God, the channel of that Word came through Jesus Christ. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John 1 and 1 says, and I believe it. So today, we're going to dive in as deep as I can carry you and take myself, because I'm learning anew. My hunger lately has been to know the Christ more deeply than I have ever known him. My hunger lately has been to dig into all the truths of the Bible that reflect the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring them to you with all that's in my capacity. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I'm the greatest theologian out there, because I'm not, and I well know that. But I do know one thing. I love the Bible. I love it from Genesis to Revelation. I love it because I know it's the infallible, incredible Word of God, doesn't change, forever settled in heaven, and certainly settled down here. And so to talk about it is a marvel. Now, there's a benefit of this that I want to talk about first. When we pray in Jesus' name. Now, that's not a magical term. That's not some word that we use to force God. It's not some kind of words. It's not just something we say. It's not just something that is powerful and really works. It does work. It is powerful. But you've got to understand what you mean when you say in the name of Jesus. You're not just talking about the Nazarene who died on the cross at the hands of both the Jews and the Romans, but mostly at the hand of God. You're not just talking about some things that we know of and think of as Jesus Christ. You're talking about this eternal one, this awesome one, this Son of God, crucified from the foundation of the world. Are you hearing me? The Bible said, crucified from the foundation of the world. When you truly understand what you mean when you say in Jesus' name, it will turn your prayers into be an awesome communication with God. Not only will it be awesome communication with God, that name will take you into the inner chamber. It will take you into the inner sanctuary. It will take you right in where the blessed Lord reigns in all of his glory at the Father's right hand. I had a burden on my heart for several weeks in my prayer. I was quoting a scripture, and I couldn't find where it was, and it was frustrating to me. And I had people looking for it. Never did find it until by the grace of God, yesterday, as I was praying, the Lord just kind of took me to the book of the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. And lo and behold, there was that verse that I'd been looking for. Verse 4, chapter 1. Draw me, we will run after thee. Draw me. Telling God, if you'll draw me, I will run after you. In other words, I need some help. I'm yearning to pray like I've never prayed. I'm yearning to intercede with God like I've never interceded with God. I'm yearning for that. I'm hungry for that. And this quote that I knew was in the Bible kept coming to me, but I couldn't find where it was. I really couldn't. I had a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance on my old phone, and I got a new phone, and the old Strong's Exhaustive Concordance plan won't work on my new phone. And I can't look up words like I could look up words. I got a friend who does it for me. But I didn't have the right quotation of it. But it says, draw me, we will run after thee. The King hath brought me into his chamber. The King has brought me into his chamber. See, it is the King by the Holy Spirit that brings us into prayer. See, the Holy Ghost is the porter. St. John 10:10 tells us that. The porter is before the door. He opens the door and carries us in to the inner chamber where Jesus Christ sits at the Father's right hand. And this is a spiritual experience. I'm not talking about literal. I've never been in that chamber. I will go someday, but I've not been. But spiritually, I've been in there many times when the Lord was as real as if I was sitting in his presence, and his glory would just overwhelm me and wrap me up like in a blanket. And what a glorious prayer time I would have. And that's been real in my life. At times, not as real as others. At times, when I was not as spiritually attuned as I ought to be. I mean, we're human beings. 68 years I've served my Lord, and I've always been a prayer warrior. Not as deeply as I should have at times, and probably never as really deep as I should have, but I'm striving at that now more than ever. And I want to help you. I want to bring you into a state of prayer life greater than you have ever had. See, we're on the verge of a Pentecostal latter rain. The verge, the right at the door of a Pentecostal latter rain. And there's one thing that will take us over the hump. And that is prayer warriors, men and women on their faces crying out to God. Men and women on their faces crying out to God. God has always depended upon his saints. In the day of Daniel, when the 70 years was complete that God had judged Israel for their forsakening of the Lord's day, the Sabbath day, Daniel got the burden and fell on his face and prayed. 21 days he waited before God, and finally the answer come. And the Lord said, I heard you from the first day, but I'm letting you pray. And the Lord showed up. A chief prince came to help him and to carry him over the last hump. And so I'm trying to help us get over the last hump. I'm trying to help me get over the last hump. I'm not trying to get you to do something I'm not working on me for. I want a prayer team, a prayer group, a prayer mirage of faith going up to God that will bring that sovereign latter rain into being. I'm believing God for prayer warriors like we have never had. You said, God don't need our help. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but well, it's not really a disappointment, but I'm sorry to disagree with you. I'm telling you that we are laborers together with God, and God said that, I didn't. We are laborers together with God, and the Bible says that God does nothing until he reveals it unto his prophets. God does nothing until he reveals it unto his prophets, and I'm telling you that God is waiting on us. We're not waiting on God. God's never late. God's never late, but God's waiting on us. And so, in the name of Jesus, that's what I want to get you to carry out of this radio broadcast. The marvelous power in the name of Jesus. The marvelous power. The triumphant power. I mean, we literally can enter into the presence of God. I hope all of you listened to the sermon this week by Dr. Wade Horton. It was put up on Monday. It is still on Facebook. It is still on Facebook. It's available to you. And when you listen to that sermon, he talks about God in the hands of men. And he goes through the Bible and shows us how God has always depended upon us. And God wants to bring us into his inner chamber. God wants to bring us into his inner presence. He wants to burden us with the prayer of the hour and the need of the hour. He wants to use us as great spiritual powers and forces by which he then moves in all of his supernatural glory and does what the Bible has already promised he's going to do. So God is looking for us to pray. God is looking for us to pray. It is the one way you can talk to God. You cannot talk to God no other way but old-fashioned praying. Old-fashioned praying. And you're praying, if it's going to touch God, it's got to be in the name of Jesus. But that name is not just a formula. It's not just magical terms. It is a name that represents the majesty of the Lord and the glory of the Lord, the awesomeness of his redemptive power. How that Jesus Christ has taken all the redemptive plan into his own being and suffered at that horrible moment of the crucifixion. And he did it to win for us the great redemption of this universe. To win for us. And really, the redemption is already won. The redemption is already complete in the mind of God, in the plan of redemption. But God must move at that right moment and effect the plan and make it come to pass. And God's going to do that. But God needs us. We can kind of move the day along by falling on our faces, a host of us, and staying there until we touch heaven in all of its splendor and all of its glory. So remember that scripture, and you may like it too. I really do love it. It's so powerful. Solomon's chapter 1, verse 4. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. That's talking about the king, the Lord Jesus, the bridegroom, has brought us, the saints of God, into his chamber. When does he bring us into his chamber? When we seek after him. When we wait on his Holy Spirit to draw us. We draw near to the point that the Spirit has us in his possession. And we become his property. And he can only begin to mightily pray through us when we become his property. If he's not the master of all, he's not the master at all. Remember that. If he's not the master of all, he's not the master at all. And so let's get in there. Draw me. We will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chamber. Listen, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love far above wine. We will remember thy love. I'm talking of going into the chamber of God to pray and to seek his face. Go to Hebrews 10. We'll probably get there in a little bit. And we'll talk about this. How marvelous it is. How wonderful it is that there is a heavenly sphere in which a godly saint can enter in prayer. A heavenly sphere in which a godly saint can enter into prayer. The Bible calls it the veil. And the Bible says that Jesus' flesh was the door, was the veil that entered in to that inner sanctum of power and glory. And I want you in there. I want you to learn the power of great anointed prayer. Now, let's take a look. How do we understand this Christ and know the glory of all that he represents until we can actually go to the Father on the power of all of that, on the authority of all of that, on all the victory of the Lord Jesus that he's won for us. And the Father then, because we understand why we are saying in Jesus' name, and we know the power and the authority of that name, Jesus, and we are going to God with no sense of our own worth, with no sense of our own goodness, with total sense of him and his glory and his might and his righteousness and his victory. We're not praying to victory, we're praying from victory. The victory is behind us. It was Calvary. The victory is already won. So we come in that power of that victory, and we approach God in that power. And that's what we mean by when we say in Jesus' name. And if you don't understand the power of it, I don't think you're capable of praying the victorious prayer in it. I think you're saying the name and the word is what most people have become accustomed to doing, including me. I'm sorry for that, but I sense that, and I'm thinking that, and I want to get beyond just using a name. I want to know that name. Paul said that I may know him and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may know him, that I might be conformed to him, that I might be like him. See, that was Paul's cry, because he was longing for this place of wonderful Holy Ghost victory in prayer. And I'm hungry for you to have that same place of Holy Ghost victory in prayer. Now, you got to understand this. Let me tell you something. Remember this. God the Father is the creator. God the Father is the brain of this universe. God the Father is the brain of this universe. But God the Son is the redemption of this universe. God the Father has redeemed nobody. His Son came to redeem us. So God redeemed us in his Son, Jesus Christ. So God the Father is the mind of this universe, the great thinker of this universe. But God the Son is the redeemer of this universe. And then the Holy Ghost is the revelation of all of God's redemptive victories and of all of God's redemptive glories. So the Father is the mind, the Lord Jesus is the Redeemer and the Word. He speaks those words of redemption, and the Holy Spirit is the revelation. So if you will let yourself grow in this knowledge of the Lord and this understanding of all that He represents, you say, I don't understand all that. Yeah, that's just jargon to me. Well, my Bible says very plainly that to know him is a dream of every real Christian. And no real Christian is satisfied just to be on the outside looking in. I want to be on the inside looking out. I want everything that God has for me. Now, let me take you to the first words of the Bible. This is awesome to me. The first words of the Bible, chapter 1 now of Genesis, and we come down to verse 3. It says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now remember what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. So when God said, that was the Trinity speaking in the Son. That was the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit speaking in the Son. Let there be light, and there was light. You know, John said it again, that He is the light of the world. John said He's the bread of life. Went on to tell us many things about Him and who the great Christ is, the I Am of John. My friend, you got to understand that in the very beginning, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were involved in the creating of this universe. And when God spoke, it was the Christ speaking. It was the God thinking, the Father thinking, the Son speaking, and the Holy Ghost, the Revelator, making known the revelation. You'll find the presence of the Holy Spirit right here in those same verses. Said that the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the deep. He overshadowed the face of the deep. And as God thought it and Jesus said it, the Holy Ghost did it. Now hear me, as God thought it and Jesus said it, the Holy Ghost did it. And this whole universe came into motion because of the act of the great Jehovah God. Remember, He said, let us make man. Let us use the word, the plural word us. Let us make man. That's because God is a triune God, and He operates in Himself, in His Son, and in His Spirit. And throughout the Old Testament, there's a unity in the Godhead, so that you never really knew or saw the distinction of the three members of the Godhead. That's why many people get all confused when they try to study the Bible, and they come out with this idea of a oneness or a Jesus only. And it's just not biblical. It's not biblical at all, because the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are so beautifully seen from the book of Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Malachi, the last chapter of the Old Testament. And let me tell you something you ought to remember. Yeah, the Old Testament is beautiful. And you can see the New Testament all through it. But the Bible makes it plain that the New Testament was concealed in the Old Testament. It was there, but it was concealed. You never really understood or saw it. But when you move to the New Testament, you have the Old Testament revealed in the New Testament. The Old Testament, the New concealed in the Old, and the Old revealed in the New. Remember that now. The New Testament is concealed in the Old. You don't remember much of it. That's why Paul the Apostle was great, a great teacher, and the great writer of our New Testament. More books than all the rest of the writers together in our New Testament. Because God was using this Old Testament scholar to give you the revelations within that Old Testament that belong now in the New Testament. And it's a breathtaking picture. It really is. Now, you got to understand this Christ, that He's right there. He's the Word of the Old Testament. Everything that God said, that Lord Jesus was the spokesman. Everything that God said, the Lord Jesus was the spokesman. Every revelation was God the Holy Spirit opening the great truths of the Bible and making them real. But God the Father was right right there with God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. And it's so beautiful until it overwhelms me when I begin to dig into it and begin to look at it. Now, if you'll go with me in your Bible, you'll see that in the garden where Adam and Eve had been placed, sin developed. The devil came into that garden and deceived Adam and deceived Eve, and they fell into disobedience. When God came to walk in the garden and visit with them, they hid themselves. They couldn't be found. He had to cry out, "Adam, Adam, where art thou?" And he said, "I'm over here. I'm hiding in these trees." He didn't say these exact words now, but "I'm hiding in the trees because we saw that we were naked." Who told you were naked? Well, did you eat of the forbidden tree? Yes, we did. She did it, though. And then she gave it to me, and I did it, too. You know? And suddenly, God had to have a plan. And so an animal was slain. Now, the redemption is always in Christ. So that animal was not slain by the Father. And I've said often he was slain by the Father, but I was wrong. He was slain by the Son. And the Son made a sacrifice that could be then used as a covering so that Adam and Eve could come from behind the trees where they were hid in the garden. Now, these things are beautiful. And you'll notice that all the way through that Old Testament, there is the Christ hidden in the beautiful things that he does and the beautiful acts that he's involved in. Let's go, if we might, to the book of Genesis 14. And you find Abraham. Abraham has a nephew, and the nephew is like a son to him. And the nephew goes down into Sodom and Gomorrah. And in Sodom and Gomorrah, the place gets attacked by other nations around Sodom and Gomorrah, and takes Lot and takes him off into the land of the enemies, and takes the goods. I mean, these kings just robbed the place where Lot was living and took the wealth of it. And Abraham had 300 and some servants. I don't know how big the armies of those nations were, but it didn't matter. God's bigger than all the enemies. And so Abraham got his servants together and went down and got everything that had been taken, got Lot, got their wives and their families, their children, and brought everything back. And on his way back, God saw a victory. And so there was a Melchizedek, the king of Salem. The king of Salem, the Bible said, and he came to make a revelation to Abraham. And what did he bring? He brought wine and bread, wine and bread. Actually, Abraham was the first person to receive communion. Abraham was the first person to receive communion in advance of the cross. In advance of the death of Jesus Christ, Abraham took the wine and the bread and drank and ate before Melchizedek, and then he paid a tithe to Melchizedek. Now, what is so beautiful, I won't read from the Old Testament chapter 14, but I'll take you over into the book of Hebrews, and read you a little bit there. And it talks about this Melchizedek and what he represented. For the Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom Abraham gave the tenth part of all. A tenth part of all. And he goes on to say, and it says he was without father and without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest forever. Now that was the pre-incarnate Christ. appearing to Abraham, and he appeared to Abraham as Melchizedek, as the priest of the Most High God. Well, Jesus Christ was indeed the priest of the Most High God. When he left heaven to come and be born of a virgin, he didn't leave from some place of idle living and idle expression. He was the priest of the Most High God. He was the priest of the temple of heaven. You read the Bible a little bit, you'll find that there is a temple in heaven, that God does have a city in the northern parts on the side of a great mountain, and the light of that beams. And many people in the earth see the northern lights, and they think they're seeing some mystery thing. Well, it is mystery. It's the lights of the city. It's the lights of the city. It's up there. You don't have to doubt it. It's up there, my friend, and God is the center of it. Now, Jesus Christ was the priest of the Most High God in the distant past, all the way from God's revelation. God is forever. He is without beginning and without ending. So is the Christ. So is the Spirit. There is no beginning of God. There is no starting point of the Lord Jesus. It's forever. He is the beginning and the end and the first and the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. See, now, when you talk about Jesus, like I'm trying to talk to you about, and trying to give you a little picture of how great he really is, the priest of the Most High God, the great act of redemption. He's the Word. Remember John 1:1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and it shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. See, I'm trying to help you understand. When you say in Jesus' name, you're saying something so much bigger and so much more majestic than it ever, ever entered your mind. I can tell you that I've never understood as deeply as I am now understanding what it means to say in Jesus' name. I am realizing that when I say in Jesus' name, I am bringing every bit of God's redemptive power, every bit of God's revelation of the Word. I'm bringing every bit of God's triumph of the past. I'm bringing everything that represents the Creator, everything that represents the Most High God, the most wonderful Christ, the most marvelous Comforter. I'm bringing every bit of that right to bear on my prayer as I'm talking to God. Now, when I talk to God with that kind of understanding, I'm telling you, I don't have to worry. He is going to hear me. He is going to see the power of that praying, and God is going to move in the great realm of his glory. Do you understand what Brother Chambers is trying to bring you today? I'm trying to open up for you to understand what it means to pray in Jesus' name. What it means to say to God the Father in Jesus' name. Now, Jesus is the one who said, you ask my Father anything in my name, and he will do it. Now, why have all of us prayed so many times in his name and nothing happened? Why is there so much praying that's being prayed in his name and no results? Just plain empty words. The world's not changing, it's getting worse. The church is not changing, it's getting worse. The kingdom of God's not growing, it's getting smaller. I read just this morning that Democrats from the Democrat Party are leaving Christianity in mass. I read that just this morning on Newsweek, on internet news. I mean, I'm not talking about just negative news, I'm talking about big time news. It said this morning, the Democrats are leaving Christianity in mass. Well, I could have said that because I see it. I just didn't know it. I have not done a study of it. And they had done a study about it. Now, what's going on? What's going on? Well, we are not affecting our world. Our world is getting worse and worse. I'm crying and praying and seeking God with all that's in Joe Chambers' ability. I'm asking him to wrap me so utterly in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the power of his name that my praying can become so dynamic. I want a Holy Ghost revival in Charlotte, North Carolina. I want to see the same thing in Charlotte when this new Pentecost comes, and it could start today or tomorrow. When it comes, I want to see the same thing thing they saw in Jerusalem when the city was shook to the core. Shook to the core. My friends, I'm telling you, we are living in the last hour. We're living in the last days. Now, I'm going to start taking some calls in a minute. I hear the phone ringing, and I will be there. Give me a minute. I'll hang up for now, and in a minute, I will announce, and you call back, okay? Because I want you to get what I'm saying. I want you to rest. Now, let me take you. I need to take you to John 1. I need you to read those verses I just quoted, but I prefer that you hear them come straight from the book, okay? I've always learned that when you pray and when you read out of the book, it's more powerful than when you quote it. It says, in the beginning was the Word. All the way back to the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Now, verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, you got that Word in the beginning. It goes all the way back. Genesis 1, it goes right on back to Melchizedek. It goes right on back to Moses up on Mount Moriah when God revealed Himself to. I mean, you've got so many scriptures there that are marvelous in their power and marvelous in their revelation. And Jesus is that rebel. Jesus is that redeemer. He's the Lord of redemption. God the Father is the Lord of every secret. God the Son is the Lord of all redemption. And God the Holy Ghost is the Lord of all revelation. And everything in our Bible comes to us through this holy book and by the revelations of God. And most people, you see, let me give you a word. The word mystery, you see it up on my screen. The mystery of the awesome Christ. The word mystery in the New Testament, somebody just keeps ringing. You might as well stop a minute now until I announce, okay? You'll have to wait. I gotta get this clear. I want everybody to get what I'm saying. It is so imperative. It is so imperative. Are you listening to me? It is so imperative. I want you to hear it with all my heart. That word mystery means that which cannot be known but by revelation. Here's one thing you must learn about the Bible. It is not understood just simply by understanding English. It is not something you can just know by book learning and learning from the teachers of our world. Oh, no, the mysteries of God are understood only by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. That's what the word mystery means in the Bible. That which cannot be known but by revelation. That which cannot be known but by revelation. Oh, my friends, that is so powerful. It's majestic to me. Now, in the beginning, notice that, was the Word. All the way back to the beginning was the Word. We read that and quoted that, but somehow people have not grasped it. In the beginning was the Word. So when God said, let there be light, there was light. That was the action of the divine Son. That was the action of the light giver. That was the action of the Word speaker. The Word spokesman. Oh, yes. It's overwhelming to know that Jesus is all of this. It really is. It really is. Now, John 1, you heard me read it. It's beautiful indeed. Let me take you to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we'll see a little more of that. Hebrews chapter 1. I've got so many things here in front of me. I'm telling you, folks, we are living in a marvelous day when God wants us to understand. Listen to this now. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in the time past unto the fathers, by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He made the heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Whom He made the heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His person, and understanding all, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, by Himself, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. See, if there's anything that makes the Trinity beautiful, it is the Son of God seated beside the majesty on high. At the Father's right hand, the Bible said. At the Father's right hand. If you don't believe it's there, then you need to go and let old Stephen talk to you in Acts chapter 7, when they were stoning him to death. And he looked up, and what did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus, not seated at the Father's right hand, but standing at the Father's right hand. See, you got these great scriptures? They are so overwhelming. They take my breath away. They are so overwhelming. So you can see the beauty of it, the power of it, the marvel of it, who be in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself. Now notice, by himself, the Father didn't die with him, only the Son died. When he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Oh, what a picture of God the Father with the Son, the Lord Jesus, the mighty Redeemer, seated at his side. Now, you see, when you pray in Jesus' name, you're bringing all of that into focus. You're bringing all of that into your prayer life. You are praying on the authority of the one who has earned this great majestic place and position. It's a marvelous position to think about and to reveal. Now, I'm gonna stop here a minute because I need to give a chance for a call, okay? I'm going to give a chance for a call. Call me 1-800. No, not 800. It's all gone. With cell phones, we don't need it. So 704-391-0588. I'm going to go put it up for you. Okay, here it is. First number, 704-391-0588. Got to get that 800 number off of there because that's not good any longer. 704-391-0588. Now, whoever called a while ago, call me. I'll take a moment. Now, we're not going to debate doctrines like the Jesus-only doctrine. I'm here to help you learn to pray. I'm here to help you get your heart set on praying and crying out to God with all your heart. Anybody want to call? 704-391-0588. I'm going to give you a moment. I got my phones ready. I would love to talk with you. I would love to minister to you, and I'd love to help you. I want you to leave this radio broadcast with a power of prayer like you have never had. I want you to understand. I want you to know you're on the air. May I help you, please? You're on the air. May I help you, please? Uh-oh, you hung up. Well, whoever it was hung up. Call me and do not hang up now. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I will be glad to help you. It'll be my joy and my delight. We get so many sales calls, both my phone at home and my cell and the church phone, and so many robot calls, they will drive you bonkers. I know you've experiencing the same thing. And I hang up on them all quickly as I can. Sometimes I try to talk to them, get them to take my name off their list, because some of them have called me dozens of times. But listen, don't worry about that. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about this Lamb of God who took away your sin. We're talking about this one who went into the hall of Pilate and was beaten. I mean beaten until his flesh was hanging off like rags. And in all that beating, there was redemption in it, so that now the sick can be healed by the redemptive suffering of the Lord Jesus in the hall of Pilate. Those stripes were not in vain. You see, those stripes were upon a divine person. The Son of God was divine. He was always divine. His blood was not regular blood. It was not corruptible blood. His blood was uncorruptible blood. And so the Son of God was God in the flesh, Emmanuel. He was as much God as he was before he left heaven. He was as much God as he had been from all eternity. He was pure God. And so they were beating God. And as they beat the flesh of the Son of God, they were creating virtue and marvelous grace by which the sick could be healed and marvelous miracles could occur. Friend, do you understand what we're dealing with? And now you're going to get on your knees when this program is over, and you're going to start praying, and you're going to say, in the name of Jesus. And as you say in the name of Jesus, your mind is going to feel the glory of this awesome person and his awesome redemption and who he was and the divine being he was that came right out of the temple of God as the high priest of God and became the crucified Christ that he might finish all of redemption, die on the cross, be resurrected, ascend, and once again become priest. Hallelujah. From priesthood to priesthood. From priesthood of all eternity to priesthood of all future eternity. You see, this is a marvelous thing we're dealing with. This is an overwhelming thing we're dealing with. And you can pray in his name. Now, anybody else want to call? I see somebody here. Are you waiting? Are you on the line? Well, I don't really know people that don't call when I'm waiting and watching, and they do call when I'm not waiting and not watching. But that's part of it. I mean, you know, in the past, I always had a worker here, but I don't put that on my ladies at this given time. And maybe I have to start again, and it would be wonderful if I can. Okay? So I'll try to see if you call back, and I'll reach for it to the best of my ability. Listen, are you hearing me? Are you ready to learn to pray by the authority and the power of this great Lamb of God? Are you ready? Are you ready to literally start praying with such authority and such power that the devil runs for cover? Hallelujah. When the devil sees an old-fashioned saint of God on their knee who knows how to pray, who's willing to stay there until they get through, willing to stay there till they pray past all the hindrance and all the mind-boggling things that come against us, willing to pray past all the attacks of Satan and Lucifer. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, something will happen. Woo! Something will happen. Let's go a little further. Let me take you to 1 John. So I read St. John, but how about 1 John? That which was from the beginning. Listen, that which was from the beginning. That goes all the way back, friend. Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. He was called the word of life. No wonder he said, I'm the bread of life. No wonder he said, I'm the light of the world. No wonder he said, I'm the door. No wonder he said, I'm the resurrection. No wonder he said, I'm the life. No wonder he said, I'm the vine. My father is the husbandman, but I'm the true vine, he says. Hallelujah. All of this is what we have in Jesus Christ. All of this is what we have in Jesus Christ. Now I'm watching, trying to keep my eyes on that phone. I get calls, and this material is so breathtaking. It's so breathtaking. And this Christ is indeed the eternal Son of God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last, which is, which was, which is to come. I love it that you call him the Word in Genesis 1, and you call him the Bridegroom in Revelation 22, and the hundreds of names in between the Word and the Bridegroom. Never forget one time we had a choir here from California, and one of the young men of the choir had learned every name that the Bible calls Jesus, every name that the Bible calls Jesus, and he stood up and he started quoting those names. And very methodically and close and slowly, he quoted those names one after the other. By the time he finished, the place was electric. I'm telling you, the glory of God had come down like rain on a mown grass. And God was in this place. I'll never forget it. We need to learn who he is. When we say in Jesus' name, you need to know what you are saying. And I'm here today to teach you. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. I'm not here for no other reason. I'm not trying to make you think I'm smart. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to get these things in this old noggin of mine so that I can become a powerful prayer warrior. Well, I see no one else is calling. Okay, go to Revelation. Maybe he gave up on me. I can understand. Hallelujah. But I'm not here so much to talk anyway with phone callers. I'm here to teach you. God's ever got me on the circuit to preach and teach. He has me there. I don't know how many years I got, but I'm going to give it all I got. And I'm going to stay on my face. I'm going to stay on my face. I want God to use me however it seems good. And I'm watching the phone trying to see if I might get a call or two. I would love to talk to you about this subject. I'd love to hear what you're thinking. How many of you know if you pray, truly pray, in the power of the name of Jesus, all hell is defeated? How many of you know that? The devil don't even have a chance. When you pray in the mighty name of Jesus, in a faith that will not take no for an answer, I mean a faith like old Moses had when he said to God, I won't let you destroy the children of Israel. I won't let you, God. If you're going to destroy them, you got to destroy me. And God said, get out of my way. And Moses said, I ain't a moving. I ain't changing, God. I'm holding on to you. See, you can pray that way when you pray in the name of Jesus and when your heart's really right with God. When your heart's really committed and Christ-like and you've given all you are to the Redeemer and you're poured out. Hallelujah. You're poured out. Then God can use you to pray in a mighty fashion. And I'm praying for that. Revelation chapter 1. Now, this is, I wish I could take all the book of Revelation and show you Jesus in this book. Because he lives in the book of Revelation. All the way from Genesis, the word in the beginning was the word. You heard that, didn't you? In the beginning was the word. You can't argue with that. Because John made it clear, in the beginning was the word, W-O-R-D. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It was first divine. When he said made flesh, that means from the divine to the flesh. Not from nothingness to the flesh, but from the divine to the flesh. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now, I can't read all this chapter. I won't have time. About 13 minutes here. Let me read it to you. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. John was in the Spirit. Where are you going to be tomorrow on the Lord's day? Walmart? Are you going to be in the house of God in the Spirit? Kind of choice you have to make. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now we're fixing to see the triumphant Christ, who is now in his post-resurrection glory. He's already been to the cross. He's already been through the whole 3 days, 3 nights of being in the heart of the earth. He's been resurrected. He has revealed himself to those chosen people around Jerusalem. He has ascended. They watched him go up through the clouds. He's up there with the Father. When he gets back to heaven, the Father has a celebration. I mean a celebration of celebrations. You talk about an event. Would it be wonderful to have looked in on that great moment when the Son of God arrived in the heavens? He left the angels. Don't you know how the angels must have wept when Jesus was leaving to be born of the Virgin? Don't you know how they must have grieved as they watched the hatred and the venom that was poured out against him on the earth? Can't you understand how the angels must have wept as he died on that cross? You think angels can weep? I would say they can. I know one thing. When he was dying, all heaven turned dark. The sun quit shining. The earth was shook with an earthquake that cracked every rock in the whole creation. Friend, you got to hear me. We're talking about the Son of the living God. We're talking about the living Christ. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. The cross is so glorious. You know, you got churches today taking down the cross. They blasphemed God. I mean, they've committed such a blasphemy until they probably have no redemption. There's probably no way they could ever return to the true and wonderful way of the Lord Jesus and his great life. It's a horrible thing. It really is. But I was in the Spirit, John said, on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, Alpha is the first word of the Greek language. Omega is the last word of the Greek language. When he said, I am Alpha and Omega, he said, I am A to Z. I am A to Z. I am all of it. I'm everything. I am he that, he goes on to say, let me read, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names them Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, stay with me. Seven golden candlesticks. Now, these candlesticks, he says in verse 20, they represent churches. Seven is the number of completion. So he is saying, John is seeing him in the midst of his church, in the midst of the church. That's where Jesus prefers to be, right in the midst of his church. He's been run out of most churches today. But I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes, so just hang on with me. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. When I turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of them, in the midst of them, this is where he longs to be. He longs to be in the midst of his church. He longs to be in the midst of his church, and he's going to be shortly. I'm telling you, he's coming back to walk in the midst of his church. But there's going to be something distinctive about the church that he walks in the midst of. And I turned to see him that walked in the midst of the seven churches, and I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now we're looking at the post resurrected Christ, who is seen here by John in all of his revelation glory, but he's seen in the midst of his church. He don't reveal his glory when he walks through our churches in a physical form, but he does reveal it in a spiritual form. I've been in the church when Shekinah glory would come down and cover the whole church. I've been in the church when the presence of the Holy Ghost made it almost blasphemous to open your lips. I've been in church when God was so real. Now, it's been a while, and I've wondered why, and I'm praying more than I ever did. But you know, the moment hasn't arrived yet that all of this is going to reoccur, but it's coming. The Lord is going to walk in the midst of his candlestick again. He's shown me that without a question. There's no way you can doubt it when you read all the promises of the coming latter rain and the mighty latter rain Pentecost. The Lord is going to walk in his church again. The Lord is going to walk in his church again. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Oh, woo, this is important. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now the stars, they are his messengers. They are both angelic and physical. They are his pastors and the angel of each pastor. Every true pastor has an angel. Every true pastor. I've had people say to me so many times, somebody's going to kill you. And I always say, they got to get past my angel. They can't kill me till they get past my angel. Oh, how many times has he took care of me? How many times has he kept me safe? How many times has he watched over me? I wouldn't go out of my house if I didn't have an angel. I wouldn't get in my automobile without an angel. I'm telling you, he said he has in his hand seven stars. And he'll say later, they're his messengers. You'll hear it very clear. When I saw him, I felt it. Well, let me go back and read verse 16 again. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth on a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And that's the one you say in his name. That's the one you are calling on every time you pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. That's the power that you are bringing to bear when you talk to God the Father in the time of great intercession, in the time of crying out to God for a sovereign move and a sovereign revival. Hallelujah. Now, I saw... I cried. Wait a minute. Let me get where I'm at. Now I saw him. I fell at his feet as dead. Yeah. you would too. You would too. Oh, hallelujah. Even so, come, Lord. Even so descend in our world. Even so rend the heavens and come down. Even so break through all the crud and the pain and the death that's all over our world. Oh, I'm praying for this virus to be put to death. I'm praying for God the Father to so reveal himself that sinners of the worst degree will become conscious of their sins. That wicked people will want to return and come back to Christ. That a church world that's backslid and indifferent and cold and faded away from the great cross of Calvary. I'm calling you home, church. I'm calling you home, church. I'm calling you home, church. The hour is desperate. I got to get it up close here. Give me a moment. I am he that liveth. This is what he says. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death, of hell and of death. I'm alive. Oh, hallelujah. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you ready to learn to pray in Jesus' name? Are you ready to take on an authority of praying that breaks through the crud, that brings your sons and daughters away from God back, that brings down the demon spirits who build strongholds all around your lives and all around your children, all around your friends? You see, the Bible says until you bind the strong man, you can't take the house. So you got to bind those strong men that have your children's house in bondage. I'm doing it, and it's working. Oh, it's working. I ain't seen all the results I want to see, but I see little glimmers of it. I know God is on the task. God is. Though you see now, I got to bring it to close. I need you here tomorrow. I'm looking for. I plan to preach this tomorrow, the Lord willing. I plan to preach this sermon from this text and from these scriptures. It'll be different from now, but I plan to preach. And if you'd like to come, you're welcome. We have every other pew that's marked off, so you'll be space seated. You'll have doors open. You won't have to touch the doors. You come in, walk straight in, take a seat. You'll be able to sanitize your hand as you come in and again as you leave. I mean, we're going to be as safe as you can be. We really are. And remember, we start our summer program Monday. So we've got room for a few more little children. These are ages 2 through 8. Through second grade. 2 through 2nd grade. So if you've got children, you want them in a good summer program, I promise you it's going to be done right. With the right kind of programs, the right kind of distancing, the right kind of protection, and the right kind of care, and a place sanitized to the core. I promise. So children, remember, on Monday, we start our summer program. And remember, we have school. We'll start again over in August. And so you probably, if you want to be at Paul Creek next year, I'm suggesting you better rest you. Because I really believe we're going to be overwhelmed. I really do. Our teachers have done this magnanimous job. Woo! What a job. We had awards day on Friday out in the yard. And it was a great time, I'm telling you. My teachers were ready. They had taught by computer and every means possible. They'd wore themselves out. They really had. You talk about a bunch of workers. My teachers are the best. They really are. Anybody that knows them knows that. So don't put off our school and our summer program and this church. We believe God's going to give us a sovereign breakthrough that's going to bring many souls to the cross. And I want you to be one of them. If you're not saved, I want you to come to Christ. Well, you know, I got so much here, and I've done my best to lay it out straight and plain. Let me see what time I got. I'm a minute and 15 seconds away. I love you. You're important to me. I've loved bringing you this broadcast. Sorry I didn't get to any phone calls, but what I was saying was so imperative, and we'll get there. You just hang on with me, and you learn to pray in Jesus' name, will you? I mean, go to the very altar in the name of Jesus and understand you're praying in the grandest name. There is no name like his name, the greatest name. But the Bible says God gave him a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Did you hear that? At his name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And that's the name you pray in. That's the name you use when you go to God the Father. I shouldn't say use. Well, I guess use is all right. That's the name you employ. That's the name that you go to the Father in. And in all the power behind the name is how you go to the Father. Be with me tomorrow. 10 o'clock is Sunday school. 11 is preaching. 6 tomorrow evening, preaching again. And don't forget the summer program. And don't forget anything. We are just on top of it for God's glory and for God's honor. We're here to bless you. We're here to bless you. And I got to go. I'm telling you, this has been something so special today. I really don't know how to say it all. It really has. God bless you. God bless you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I've heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Then somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing a